Invite you to turn in your Bibles at this time to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 12 and read through the end of verse 17. This letter to the Christians in the city of Philippi is one of Paul's so-called prison epistles and one of his most personal and tender in tone. It's a letter filled with joy, encouragement, inspiration, and instruction. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 12, reading through verse 17, hear God's word. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. As far as the reading of God's word, I encourage you, though, to keep your Bibles open. We'll be looking at this text in detail throughout the message this evening. Beloved congregation of Jesus Christ, 2012. What kind of a year has it been for you? Has it been a great year? An awful year? Or something in between? Well, based on the year's news headlines, 2012 was a rather dismal one for our nation and world. Once again, there were terrible natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and Typhoon Bopha, a cyclone which killed many hundreds in the Philippines. Remember back to the hard freeze last spring, the heat wave and drought of the summer which wreaked havoc on our nation's crops, orchards, and livestock. The economy here and abroad has continued to struggle. High unemployment, massive and growing national debts, and now the fiscal cliff. As we remember back, we remember terrible mass shootings like those in Aurora and Sandy Hook. There was a terrorist attack in Benghazi. Wars continue to rage on in Afghanistan, Syria, Israel, throughout Africa as well. There were awful scandals like the one at Penn State. And this past year was marked by end-of-the-world fears. Fears of a zombie apocalypse. And silly crazes like Honey Boo Boo. In the Gangnam Dance. And of course, there were consequential court rulings in a nation-changing election. And if you're a fan of the Detroit Tigers, a miserable World Series. Yet 2012 was a banner year for generating anxiety, fear, and discouragement. Well, in our text tonight, the Apostle Paul gives believers a strategy, his strategy for how to live in our broken and sin-filled world. And notice he keeps it very simple for us. In verse 13 he says, the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead. So tonight we're going to focus on that strategy for Christian living. We're going to look at its two parts. And the first part is forgetting the past. Paul's strategy for Christian living is forgetting the past. Again, listen to the words of verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. So Paul's strategy here is one of trying to forget certain things. His strategy involves a certain type of amnesia, where he has committed himself to forget things that will be harmful to him, things in the past that will keep him from running the Christian race. Selective amnesia. And this targeted forgetfulness is for all of us. It's not just for Paul and other super saints like him. Verse 17, he says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So what is Paul's purpose behind his effort to forget? And what is it that we should join him in forgetting? On this portion of Philippians chapter 3, the apostle is using imagery of runners and of running. Verse 12, the Greek word translated to press on was used to describe a runner's pursuit for the lead. And the word translated as straining in verse 13 was used to describe a runner's final all-out lunge to cross the finish line and win the race. So Paul takes that imagery from foot races and from the ancient Olympics and then applies it to the way Christians are to live. And this first part of Paul's comparison involves, as noted before, an intentional forgetting. A conscious effort to block out certain thoughts in much the same way as runners must mentally block out and ignore anything and everything that would slow them down, that would distract them or dispirit them. Likewise, believers are to ignore or block out whatever will hinder us, whatever will slow us down in pursuit of godliness, in pursuit of Christ's glory, whatever will keep us from running the marathon of life, a life of faithful, grateful, and fruitful service lived unto the glory of our Lord and Redeemer. Now these behind things, these things that we are to forget, seem to fall into two big categories. The first category are those of past successes and achievements. The other category, spiritually speaking now, are of past failures. Earlier in this chapter, Paul lists some of the reasons that he had for being overly confident. Look back in chapter 3 here to verse 4, second part of verse 4. Paul says, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Faultless. That's quite a list of religious credentials, honors, status makers, and moral successes on Paul's part. And these were all earned or received before he even came to faith in Christ on the road to Damascus. And of course, he could have also listed what he had accomplished since his conversion. Could have noted all the churches that he had planted, all the souls that he had won for Christ, all the suffering that he had endured, and all the heresies he had confronted, all the divinely inspired letters he had written, visions of heaven that he had seen, all the temptations and satanic schemes he had overcome. You see how long his list of achievements were? And he does mention some of those things in other contexts, in other letters, especially when he's defending his apostleship. But not here. He mentions none of them now. He's intentionally ignoring them, blocking them out, choosing to forget them. Why? Well, you see, rehearsing them, rehearsing that list could keep him from running his very best by burdening him and entangling him with a sense of self-confidence, a sense of self-accomplishment, a feeling of self-satisfaction that with these achievements behind him, he could then coast across the finish line, that he could then rest on his laurels. And especially, this would be the case if he compared himself to lesser runners. Perhaps some of you remember the 2008 Summer Olympics when Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt not only easily won the 100-meter final, but set a world record. But what was most memorable about the race was how he had finished it. Bolt not only turned around to see where the other runners were, but he started to celebrate before he even crossed the finish line, thumping his chest as he coasted in. Experts say that if he had gone all out, he could have cut at least a tenth of a second off his time and made a far better impression doing it. You see, looking back at the successes of our lives can cause us to let up. It can cause us to coast, to rest on our laurels, to become complacent. We begin to compare ourselves with others, forgetting that Christ has uniquely and individually called and equipped us, assigned to each of us specific tasks, opportunities, and responsibilities. You see, with self-congratulations also comes the sin of sinful pride. And it too will burden us as we try to run the race that Christ has set before us. And Paul was well aware of that danger because, as we read in other letters, he was given a thorn in his flesh after a heavenly vision. And that thorn was given him to keep him humble. It helped him remember that his achievements, his honors were from the Lord. It helped him to remember that all he had accomplished, all of his victories, all of his successes were due solely to God's amazing grace. He knew all of his talents, gifts, resources, opportunities, and his drive. All of it was a gift given to him by God, his gracious God. So do you have a lot of spiritual successes to look back upon over the past year? Did you win people to Christ? Did you overcome some besetting sin? Did your knowledge of spiritual things grow? Did you have a rich and consistent devotional life? Did you help others grow in the faith? Were you faithful in worship? Were you patient, generous, forgiving, hospitable, empathetic, Christ-like? Wonderful. Praise God for that work of grace in your life. But now, forget it. Forget all of it. Throw away your resume of spiritual accomplishments because that part of your race has now been run. All those opportunities are behind you. You need to turn your attention to the course that lies ahead. Be sure to forget your past successes. At the same time, though, we are called to forget our past sins and spiritual failings. Now, Paul hints at these in verse 9, where he mentions and focuses in on a righteousness that comes to us from God by faith. Elsewhere in his letters, he describes us as jars of clay and himself as the chief of sinners. In Romans 7, Paul tells us that in his inner being, he delights in the law of God and that he desires to do what is good. But he says, what I end up doing so often is the evil that I don't want to do. And maybe that's what 2012 was like for you. As you look back, you see sin upon sin, failure upon failure, one stumble after the next. And you hate your sin. You despise your weakness, your proclivity to sin. And you've genuinely confessed your sin. You've genuinely confessed your guilt before the Lord. You've repented of it. But you can't let it go. Those past sins lay heavy on your heart and mind to the point of discouragement and despair. They're weighing you down. They're slowing you down. They're knocking you down. Paul is saying to you tonight, consciously make an effort by God's grace to forget those sins. Put them out of your mind. Put them behind you. If you've truly repented, those sins are truly forgiven by the Lord. They've been laid on Christ. They've been paid for. They've been washed away. You notice Paul doesn't talk about his sins and failures here in this context. He's practicing his principle, this targeted amnesia. So start the new year fresh. Begin again. Run in the forgiveness and grace of Christ. Having said this, Paul isn't giving us a green light to sin and to presume upon God's grace. He's not doing that at all. The author of the book of Hebrews writes this, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." You see, that sin is always a burden. It's always a hindrance. And even its memory weighs us down. Throw it all off. Be free of it. Start the new year by leaving the old behind. Forget the past so that you can run light and fast and free. Practice this targeted amnesia. Remember to forget your past successes and your past sins. Forget in order to focus. And that brings us to the second part of Paul's strategy for Christian living. And that is focusing in on the prize. Focusing on the prize. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 13. And Paul writes, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Straining toward what is ahead. Straining toward the goal to gain the prize. So notice here, first of all, that Paul wants us to remember that the goal and the prize are still ahead. despite all of his accomplishments, all the wonderful things that Paul had done for Christ, for his kingdom, despite the godliness and holiness of his life, despite his dedication and commitment to Christ, despite all of that, Paul still hadn't reached his goal. He still hadn't gained his prize. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So Paul hadn't finished his race. He had farther to run. He had more laps to complete. He had more to accomplish in fulfilling the calling that Christ had given him at his conversion. There was still need for spiritual growth in his life. He still needed to make progress in his sanctification. There were still things he needed to do to complete his work as an apostle. The race was still on. And so congratulations would have been entirely out of order for Paul. And Paul wasn't just speaking of himself. Here in this letter, he's specifically addressing a group within this church at Philippi who believed that they had, spiritually speaking, that they had arrived. That they had already crossed the finish line. That they had already reached perfection. They were completely holy and godly. Apparently, some of these believers there held to some sort of a perfectionistic view of sanctification. Sin and struggle were no longer an issue for them, they thought. To them, the Christian life was but a victory lap. And so here we have Paul refusing to let that error stand. We find him gently correcting them and pointing them to the truth. Drop down to verse 15. He says there, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So mature Christians know that they haven't yet arrived at the finish line. Sin and failure, struggle and straining, sweat and tears, all of these are par for the course. Our race, with all of its ups and downs, highs and lows, progress and stumbling, will continue until we cross the river, until the day when He calls us to our eternal heavenly home, or upon the glorious day of Christ's return. The goal, the finish line for all of us still lies ahead. Our race is only over when our earthly lives are over. There is no perfection in this life. There is no sinlessness, no victory laps, no off years. We are to run the race marked out for us and run it as hard as our strength allows. So Paul says, strain for what is ahead. Press on toward the goal to win the prize. Press on. You see, those words are expressing great exertion and all out 110% effort on our part as we run in the strength of the Spirit. He's calling us to focus on the finish line, to concentrate on the prize that is awaiting us on the other side. What prize is Paul talking about? This certainly isn't a wreath of leaves or a cash reward of some sort. No, verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, the prize is Christ Himself. It is His face-to-face welcome. His gracious smile. His gracious words, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. The prize is the reward that He has won for us, which He will personally and graciously reward to us. Eternal life eternal glory, eternal joy, celebration and rest, a glorious crown of immortal, perfect righteousness that will never fade away. Think of it. That's the prize that awaits those who finish the race and keep the faith. And that's the prize we must focus on. We must fix our hearts on, our minds, our aspirations toward. That's the prize which is worth striving for, straining for, doing everything in our power. Again, running in the Spirit's strength, but doing everything in our power to reach that goal line. This past summer, Michael Phelps finished his Olympic career, winning a total of 22 medals, 18 of which were gold. An amazing achievement. Yet his most memorable of all of his races was perhaps his gold medal victory back in 2008 in the 100-meter butterfly match. Remember how he trailed the entire race, but in a final all-out lunging half-stroke, he beat his opponent by 1/100th of a second. He wanted the gold, and he gave all that he had and more to win the prize, to win his 7th gold medal in that Summer Olympics. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." All of Phelps' medals, gold or otherwise, don't begin to compare with that crown of glory. So strain toward what's ahead. Press on toward the goal to win the prize. In the Spirit's power, run with dedication, run with determination, run with a single-minded devotion. And then also remember that even as long-distance runners need refreshment along the way, so also do believing saints need thirst-quenching gospel grace. You need the healing balm of Christ's forgiveness and mercy. You need the strengthening nourishment of the Word and sacrament. And so be faithful in your worship. Be faithful in fellowship and in Bible study and in your personal devotions. Do not neglect such things. And be sure that you never forget the one thing. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That was the Apostle Paul's resolution. May it be yours and mine as well in the new year and in every year that follows. The 19th century Anglican poet and hymn writer Francis Havergal said this, and I quote, "Sovereign Lord and gracious Master, Thou didst freely choose Thine own. Thou hast called with holy calling. Thou wilt save and keep from falling. Thine the glory, Thine alone. Yet Thine hand shall crown in heaven all the grace Thy love hath given, a just though undeserved reward from our glorious and gracious Lord." Unquote. O fellow believer, press on toward the goal. Indeed, press on to win the prize. Amen. Let us pray.